With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, Deanne? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us. Coming up this hour on the show, Super Dave. Super Dave Friedman with our college football picks going head-to-head against Meraz. I think we have a really good idea for what is on the line, which I will unveil later on in the hour. Maybe I'll even get Super Dave's take on this when he comes on. But Super Dave got back to his winning ways, a 3-0 week one and a 2-1 week three. Can he keep the good times rolling? We'll do his picks coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. But let's start with Eli Manning, because Eli now sounds like quite the sad sack, talking about running scout teams and just doing his best. Maybe, guys, if we can cue that up again, that would be excellent, because he's just doing his best Eeyore impersonation.
Oh, shucks. I guess I'm running the scout team again.
Just taking this day by day. So just trying to figure out how to run a scout team. That was my number one objective of today, and thought I did pretty well.
I mean, there's an element of that of purposefully making it sound terrible, right? There's definitely an element of that where Eli Manning wants to bring up the fact that I'm just going to try to run the scout team now. And I think I did pretty well. So you would think, okay, Eli can't be happy about this. He's a two-time Super Bowl MVP, a future Hall of Famer. He gets the hook after just two games this season. He would definitely want to finish up his career being a starter, right? Not backing up a rookie. You'd have to think he'd want to finish his career somewhere else if he can be the starter again. And there's a part of me that does agree that it's a little early for this. If you were going to sign Eli Manning in the offseason to that big contract, then why give him only 2 weeks? Except in defense of Dave Gettleman, I don't think they knew that Daniel Jones would look this good so soon. And again, I don't want to get ahead of us on Daniel Jones. It's just the preseason. But I think what they saw internally was, wow, he's composed. He's comfortable in the offense. His arm talent is obvious. And the guys kind of respect him despite being just a rookie. We could throw him out there and it would be okay. Not to say they would win 10 games, but that he wouldn't be scrambled because of it. And I think that changed their equation. Maybe they were delusional about how Eli could be this year. Maybe it was impressed upon them by ownership. Hey, give Eli another shot this year. But I just think their calculus changed when, number one, Daniel Jones looked better than they thought, earlier than they thought. And number two, they were so bad in the first 2 weeks. But I don't have the sense at all that Eli wants to waive his no-trade clause and go anywhere else. I don't have the sense that Eli wants to play on a different team for one more year. Sounds like everybody that connected him with the Jacksonville Jaguars because of Tom Coughlin didn't necessarily have that based in fact, because reports out of Jacksonville are that Coughlin has told people on the inside that was always overblown, our interest there. And while I'm sure Coughlin has a sentimental connection with Eli Manning because of those two Super Bowls, Tom Coughlin also saw the bad of Eli at the end. He also was on the sidelines on Sundays where Eli threw them out of games. And they just spent all of that money on Nick Foles. Suddenly they're going to spend more money on Eli Manning? It doesn't make any sense. So Jacksonville doesn't seem to make any sense. If you were saying, okay, how about Pittsburgh? The Rooney and Mara family are tight. They love one another. They're family. Well, do the Pittsburgh Steelers bring in Eli Manning for 14 games to keep that season afloat? Or does it make more sense to have somebody that's in the system already pick up and try to do it on the fly? I mean, is Eli going to run another offense? He's going to learn it now, week three of the NFL season? I don't think he's flexible enough to do that. So I think part of this is that Eli doesn't want to go anywhere, and part of this is I don't think it makes any logical sense for the idea that he could just pick up in the middle of a season and run somebody's offense effectively. He can barely run his own offense effectively. In fact, no, he can't run his own offense effectively. The only thing that changes about this is if in the offseason, I don't think he's going anywhere this year, and that includes the New York Jets, if he wants to stay in town, Eli's not going to get traded to the Jets for a four-week run until Mono Boy comes back. That doesn't make any sense either. I think the only thing that could change about Eli maybe finishing his career with a different team is if these final 14 weeks are really painful and he feels like it was an unceremonious dump and he goes, I just want to go out on a high note, one last shot at being a starter, because these last 14 weeks really sucked. And maybe in the offseason, he goes on a one-year deal somewhere. But is there a team out there that gives Eli a one-year deal at 38, going on to 39 years old next offseason? Let me throw one possible conspiracy theory out there, Mraz. That the Giants not only were protecting Eli from dropping to sub-500 on his career, which is why they pulled the plug so early, but if they protect him and don't show him on film for the final 14 weeks of the season, it protects the value that they could get if they traded him. He's going to be a free agent, though?
Yeah, his contract's up, so the trade wouldn't matter.
So it'd have to be before October 29th where they actually right. get something back.
I still think the decision was made this week because they saw how bad this was going and his record dropped career to 500. I do think that's a part of it because I think if his record continues to drop below 500 as Giants quarterback, more of that Hall of Fame is he not debate comes in. And for the Giants, financially, post Eli Manning's career, it behooves them to make sure that his status remains as a Hall of Famer as much as possible. And if this thing derailed and he lost another 8 games, was 8 games below, and that was the difference between a Hall of Fame or not, 5 years financially, that could be a huge difference for the Giants. There's a lot of marketing to be had there.
I don't think that there's going to be a taker before October 29th. And I don't think that he's going to waive it by October 29th.
I see, that's the thing. How many people still view Eli Manning as somebody could help them? Because if there was ever a year where there would be a taker,
right,
the amount of quarterbacks going down now. The question for Eli Manning, though, is he has these young kids at home. If he truly is going to leave New York, it'd have to be somewhere where he knew he would start at quarterback for the full season.
Right.
And if you look around, you can't guarantee that in Carolina with whatever's going on in Cam Newton. You can't guarantee that with the Jets, even though he wouldn't have to move. You can't guarantee that with New Orleans. You could guarantee it with Pittsburgh, but at the same time, they love Mason Rudolph and just traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. So I don't see it happening. I think, sadly, he's going to sit there and play. And the only other thing that maybe could happen, Giants are eliminated. Daniel Jones goes about his business. How about week 17, Giants long eliminated? They bring back Eli for one more start then to say, come say your farewell.
Yep. Totally on the table. I think that the Giants ownership wants him to have one last home game so that he has a swan song. But then you could be one game under 500.
Good point.
855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Joseph is next up in Houston, listening on Sports Radio 650. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, man. Good morning, DA.
How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing amazing. I'm getting the weekend off for my son's birthday. We're going to go to the Astros game. against the A's on Saturday night and watch some football on Sunday.
Nice.
Man, you know what? I really enjoy the show. And the past couple of days, I have had some gut-wrenching laughs with Mraz and his whole USC Trojan comment. I cannot stop laughing about that. I think that is hilarious. But actually, my question for you is, with all of the drama behind all the quarterbacks going down and the injuries in the league right now, and thank God it's even more so the comments that are being said about it more than the drama off the field with AB and all the other players, who do you think out of this draft class is going to like show us their true colors, break through the ceiling, and actually do something in the league? We lost so many really good quarterbacks this season already. I just wanted to get your perspective on that.
Well, if you're talking about these backup quarterbacks right now that are taking over for the injured players, I don't think there's anybody that's going to blow the doors off. You know, Kyle Allen's not going to do it in Carolina. I think Mason Rudolph's going to do it in Pittsburgh. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater's going to light the world on fire in New Orleans. We know Luke Falk ain't going to do anything crazy with the Jets. He's a third stringer. Gardner Minshew might end up rising to the occasion. He's the one guy that feels like he might have a certain it factor, maybe. But again, what does that mean? If this is a Jaguars team that is 5-5 by the time that Nick Foles comes back, that's a pretty good spot because they're 0-2 right now. Is he even going to do that? So I'm not looking at any of these backup quarterbacks coming in for the quarterbacks, the starters, and doing big things. I would say this year, the two rookies that have the most attention on them right now, Kyler Murray in Arizona, and now Daniel Jones with the Giants. Because both those guys will have plenty of games to become a franchise QB. Both of those guys have now the breadth of the season, the platform, and the support of the coaching staff to go out there and get it done. I don't think the Giants are thinking, well, if Daniel Jones is bad, we're going to go back to Eli Manning. I think the idea right now is give the kids space to play and make mistakes. And certainly that's the play in Arizona with Kyler Murray. Murray has shown flashes in the first two games that make you think, wow, maybe this can work. Daniel Jones showed something in the preseason that made you think, wow, he's ready sooner than we would have thought. But the backup QBs that have come in for the other injured quarterbacks, nobody besides Minshew, I think, has the potential to really seize the moment and look shockingly good, better than we would have thought. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Kevin Durant is hysterical, isn't he? I'm going to get to this later on in the hour. But KD, now the reports are that he wasn't happy with Steve Kerr. And the other day, Kevin Durant said that he doesn't like the circus that is the NBA, and that the NBA players create attention where there doesn't have to be any, and that he didn't really vibe with Steve Kerr and felt on the outside of the Warriors, which is exactly what he was complaining about players doing, creating stories out of nothing, creating more drama than it has to be there. It's like every time you just want to say, wow, okay, KD's finally getting it, he proved that he's not getting it. We'll do that later on in the hour. But Super Dave's college football picks are next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm never going to come on the King DA show and correct him. So I was just going to handle that myself and kind of move on quickly because I respect you too much, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's the way it really should be around here. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The DA show every single day, listened to across the CBS Sports Radio network, on terrestrial radio and all of our wonderful affiliates, also on Sirius XM, channel 206. And you can check us out on your phone. Stream us using your smart speaker or on your phone, radio.com. Also, Apple Music, the CBS Sports app, as well as available to watch at watchda.com. So Dixieland Dan brings up an interesting possibility for what we would have on the line between Mraz and Super Dave for our football picks. Dan suggests that the loser has to dress up like Cam Newton last week after that Thursday night game in a babushka. Maybe go complete Mrs. Doubtfire costume. And for Mraz, he has to attend a Giants game wearing a babushka and a Mrs. Doubtfire costume. And for Super Dave, a big game or big event that Dave can go to, he's based in the Carolinas. So I like this idea, Mraz. We spent a lot of attention and time on Cam Newton's babushka, dressed up like my grandmother going to church with her pinochle friends. I think that this is a great idea. Loser dresses up like Cam Newton and goes to a game.
I can't wait to see, you know, obviously Friedman showing up for Penguins Hurricanes wearing a babushka. That should be a lot of fun down in the Carolinas.
So you'd sign up for that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? A babushka is no worse than me going naked in Central Park.
That's probably true.
And you know what? If I bring out the babushka, it'll make Cam Newton never wear it again because it'll no longer be stylish.
So let's see if Super Dave agrees to the same terms. Here he is with your college football picks.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
We know Mraz has a big mouth to fill, and hopefully we are going to quiet that down this season. And oh, by the way, Florida State's been bad the last couple of years. What makes him such a genius?
With your weekly college football picks.
The line is what the line is. Why would they not play well in this game? This is just an unbelievable coaching mismatch.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Super Dave went 2-1 last week. Super Dave, good morning.
Good morning, DA. I thought that Mraz was going to have to dress up as Gardner Minshew.
We could do Gardner Minshew as well, but what do you think about dressing up like Cam Newton, babushka, Mrs. Doubtfire for a game after the season, whoever loses?
I'm not fired up about it since Mraz has the lead right now, but I'll put it under further consideration.
Do you have a better suggestion?
Well, I still think, no, I don't. I don't have a better suggestion yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Okay. All right, so let's start with your picks here. We go to a big one, Temple and Buffalo in the American. This one is a 3:30 kick Eastern time on ESPNU. Temple is favored by 13.5. Where are you going?
Well, last year these teams played in Philly. Buffalo won 36-29. The coach of Temple, Rod Carey, was at Northern Illinois. He went 52-30 at NIU. Four times he played against Buffalo. He beat them all four times, but the games were close. 30-29 and 14-13 in the last two matchups. He only would have covered two touchdowns in one of those four games. And when you look at what Buffalo does well, they defend the pass well. Well, that's how Temple scores their points. This is the first road game for Temple. I like the Bulls plus the points.
All right, the Bulls plus the points. Let's go to your next pick, Washington, BYU. The Huskies, ranked 22 in the country, will go to Provo, Utah to take on BYU. 3:30 Eastern kick on either ABC or ESPN2. In this game, Washington, the road favorites, favored by 6.5. Where do you go?
So BYU plays maybe the most difficult out-of-conference schedule in the country. They lost to Utah. They beat Tennessee in overtime. They beat USC in overtime. And next week they play Toledo. But Washington is all class. Chris Peterson, 92-15 at Boise, 49-22 at Washington. These teams met last year. It wasn't a game. Washington won 35-7. And if you look at the quarterback matchup, Jacob Eason for Washington, 69% passing, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick, 773 yards. For BYU, Zach Wilson, not nearly as good. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, 63%. This is a BYU team that only averages 3.6 yards a run. I think Washington's better running the ball. I think they're better passing the ball. I think they're just better. They're better coached. I think they win. I think they win relatively easily.
Okay, the Huskies in a big win. And then you've got Western Michigan, Syracuse. The Orange getting their butts handed to them by Clemson last weekend. Western Michigan is 2-1. This one's going to be at the Carrier Dome, noon Eastern time on the ACC Network. Syracuse favored by 5.5. What do you think?
So Syracuse entered the year with a lot of fanfare. This was supposed to be Dino Babers' best team. This was a team that might be able to compete in the ACC. They beat a coach who was in a hospital bed in the press box in the opener. Then they got their butt kicked at Maryland, and then they predictably got killed against Clemson. But 10 wins last year for Syracuse, including a 55-42 win at Western Michigan. Sure, the program has fallen apart since Paul Pasqualoni was dismissed. He went 107-59-1, and since then, Syracuse is 68-106. And Babers, the great savior, is 19-21. But these are the teams he beats. He's 2-0 against the MAC since coming to Syracuse. And I think when you look at what Syracuse does poorly, they're not converting on third down this year. They're not running the ball really well. Those are the weaknesses of Western Michigan. Opponents are converting 49% on third down against Western Michigan this year. I think this is a good comeback spot for Syracuse.
There is no bigger Coach P honk than one Super Dave Friedman. His picks: the Buffalo Bulls laying 13.5, the Washington Huskies laying 6.5, and Syracuse favored by 5.5. That's your Super Dave picks for week 4 of the college football season. Thank you, Super Dave.
Take care, DA.
I like the Mrs. Doubtfire part of the bet here. I really do. I think it works. I think it fits. Because either way, you have... Oh, I forgot to mention also that Super Dave is the host of the Bearded Carcast. And the Bearded Carcast is a podcast where he is also making NFL picks. And last week, he actually went 4-0 in NFL picks. So find Super Dave's NFL picks as part of his podcast. He's also the voice of Winthrop Basketball. Online, simply search in podcast places for the Bearded Carcast. He has a beard. His co-host has a beard. They drive all around the South together for college basketball games. They do a podcast together, the Bearded Carcast. But I like the Mrs. Doubtfire angle here. Pete the Body Bellotti is an independent arbiter. What do you think about the bet dressing up like Mrs. Doubtfire going to a game?
I think that's perfect. Anytime you can equate Mrs. Doubtfire into the whole picture, I think it's worth it.
And it's a win.
It's a big win. And I think seeing Mraz dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire at an empty MetLife Stadium would be great.
Yeah, on Eli Swan.
So now, I thought we were dressing as Cam Newton, but are we just saying Cam Newton and Mrs. Doubtfire are the same person with that outfit?
A little bit, but I don't know.
That's like, am I going more Mrs. Doubtfire, or am I going more Cam Newton Babushka, or are they one in the same?
It's a good question. Remember, Cam Newton had the sunglasses.
Sure.
No, the eyeglasses, I guess. They were big, round, black eyeglasses. So those we could find. Mrs. Doubtfire had, like, the little reading glasses, I think. The Babushka's the same, but then Cam Newton had a suit. I think I'd rather see you in a shawl or some type of old lady sweater.
Could it be dealer's choice whether you want to go Cam Newton or the lady sweater? I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire and Cam Newton are close enough in that outfit. Shouldn't it be up to you once you lose to decide where you want to go?
Maybe it's a meld of both, a hybrid like Cam Doubtfire.
Like a Jim Klein saucer of the two. You don't know if he's a tight end or a fullback.
Bit of an H-back of a Halloween costume, yeah. We'll have to work this out.
And by the way, obviously Dave picking all the big games from the weekend. It's good to see.
That's why we have him on, to make sure that you are locked into the biggest game for the weekend. Forget Michigan, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Georgia, A&M, Auburn. That's not what you're looking at. You're looking at Buffalo, Temple, Syracuse, Western Michigan. These are the games that matter, and this is where you can make some money.
Washington, BYU, of course, who could forget. As you said, 3:30 Eastern, we're all locked in.
Got to have it. When we come back here on the show, Kevin Durant just continually says idiotic things. We'll continue with that. Also here on the show, no Taco Tuesday in Dallas. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
UNCBS, don't look at him.
It's
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You can watch the show every single day on your phone, on your laptop, your PC, your smart TV. Watch at watchda.com. The Wizard of Watch DA. Right now, Andrew Kaplan pulling levers, pressing buttons, and making sure the simulcast is live and sparkling Technicolor every single day. WatchDA.com. We'll get to your epic fail coming up here and your cut line. But in the middle of football season, I do need to address a basketball story. Kevin Durant spoke to, did an exclusive with the Wall Street Journal. And Kevin Durant in the Wall Street Journal took a shot at Steve Kerr's motion offense, saying that it only worked for the early round of the playoffs. Late round of the playoffs, they had to scrap it, and he had to do his own hero ball, iso ball, dig into his own pocket, do that type of thing. Stephen A. has been saying over the last 48 hours that Kevin Durant was not feeling Steve Kerr, and that that was part of the reason why he left Golden State. So here you have reports that KD wasn't feeling Steve Kerr, and he's publicly criticizing the offense that he won two championships with and was an NBA Finals MVP in both. And there is absolutely no need. It's September. He's not going to play this year. Why does there need to be stories about Kevin Durant? Why does Kevin Durant need to be taking shots at the Warriors' offense? Steph Curry has responded to said criticism and said essentially, look, I'd like to play iso ball too at the end of the day, but I'd rather have championships. Curry told Rachel Nichols, I don't care what plays we ran. We won two championships. So you have Kevin Durant taking a shot of the Warriors' offense. Stories flown about how he wasn't feeling Steve Kerr. That's part of the reason he left. Steph Curry firing back about the offense. And all of this having to do with a player that's no longer on the team and won two championships there. This is mind-numbing because Kevin Durant was the same guy just days ago. That said, he's sick and tired of when players create drama. He says, I hate the NBA circus. And criticize players that make something out of nothing. It's amazing. It is amazing how delusional Kevin Durant is. Kevin Durant was the same guy that created a burner account to defend himself on Twitter to strangers and forgot he was using his own account and blasted Billy Donovan and the Thunder. Let's not forget that. The 2 years ago, KD was so engaged and addicted to social media and fighting with trolls that he mistakenly used his own actual account to blast his former team. Remember this? There was a guy on Twitter that said, give me one legitimate reason that you left OKC other than getting a championship. And Kevin Durant, from the account at KDTrey5, which is his official blue check marked account, said he didn't like the organization. He didn't like playing for Billy Donovan. His roster wasn't that good. He also, on the same account, said, imagine taking Russ off that team. See how bad they were? KD can't win a championship with those cats. Kevin Durant took to social media to blast the former roster that he played with and the former coach that he played for. He, even if he thought he was using a fake burner account, he's still putting that out there knowingly. He's incredible. He's absolutely incredible. And here is the guy saying, I just don't like how NBA players have turned this into a circus. Could you imagine doing something so obviously circus-like and then saying, I don't like the circus? How crazy hypocritical that is? How totally self-delusional that is? How totally self-blind that is? This year, he's not even going to play. The season hasn't started yet. He's taking shots at his former team's offense that he won two championships with. Like, the win here for Kevin Durant is just say how much you enjoyed your time at Golden State and you're excited about being a Net. There's no other need to do anything. You got your rings. You became a sympathetic figure. You left to go to a different team. You're rehabbing this year. There is no win whatsoever in talking about the motion offense in Golden State. None. There's no win there. He's incredible. Absolutely. How could you ever explain that? He's incredible in the most dopey way possible. Let's get to the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the Cut Line.
Oh, Taco, he gone. After tweeting on Monday, free me, because he wasn't playing for the Cowboys decided to let him go find his new path. They cut him yesterday. And they brought in Robert Quinn was coming back. They had a roster exemption. And so now Taco Charlton is out and available on the open market. Now, Taco is a huge bust for the Cowboys. He was drafted in the first round in 2017. So he only had last year in 2017, and now he's already been cut. He had only 4 sacks in those 27 games. So nearly 2 years, 4 sacks, only started 7 of them, inactive for the 2 games of this season, healthy scratch. Basically, they couldn't stand the fact that he had no work ethic, no motor, no want, no drive. And at that point, they said it's not worth holding on to him. You can criticize the Cowboys for this busted draft pick, no doubt. This was a real reach and a mistake and a miss. But what's interesting is that the Cowboys didn't want to hold on to him any longer to try to protect the miss. I respect that. Number 2 is that it goes to show you how few times they miss nowadays. When you go back over the last decade, there's only really 2 big misses for the Cowboys. Morris Claiborne and Taco Charlton. Those are the 2 major misses. Outside of that, the Cowboys have drafted really well. And that's made all the difference. Is Jason Garrett a great coach? No. But Stephen Jones ripped away control of drafting away from Jerry. And so now they've got a really good roster. And Jerry's signing the checks now. Apparently there's plenty of pie. But this is all because Stephen Jones has taken away the roster build from Jerry. Because if it was up to Jerry, he'd be drafting Johnny Manziel. I'll tell you, the Cowboys as presently constituted are really good. It just makes me wonder if you've got a big decision, time management, a replay, challenge, something in the playoffs, do you trust Jason Garrett? For me, the answer is absolutely no. Can they win in spite of Jason Garrett's mediocrity is the question this year.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And let's raise a cold one, shall we, to Gerrit Cole, Astros right-hander, who becomes only the 18th major league pitcher ever, at least since 1900, so since it was no longer the 1800s, to strike out 300 batters in a season. Cole has been ridiculous in Houston. He's 18-5. He struck out 10, earned his 14th straight win. Houston clinches a playoff spot. And Gerrit Cole hasn't lost since May 22nd, 20 starts ago. When you look at some of the guys who have done this, 300 strikeouts in the season, it's pretty amazing. And the numbers and the guys that have been doing this for a long time, no, that's a hell of a stat. You're talking about the Mike Scotts in 86, J.R. Richard, who was dominant in 1980. Those were Astros players. Randy Johnson. But more than that, this season, unfortunately, has been defined by strikeouts and home runs. Strikeouts and home runs and strikeouts. And frankly, if we see more of that in the postseason, it's not going to be as much of a fun drama as the October playoffs usually are in baseball. I hope and I think we'll get back to more than just home runs and strikeouts and home runs. But this is yet another stat, one more stat, where there's not a lot of action on the baseball diamond, and people that want to ignore that fact and say, well, it'll even itself out. I'm not so sure that it is.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Pedro Martinez, 1999, the last American leaguer to have 300 strikeouts in a season, and that is just what Gerrit Cole just did. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And is this about Gardner Minshew?
No, Bobby hit the plate.
Oh, we've had a couple of epic fails today.
Today's been one day.
Oh, that's true. Bogus at the plate. Yes, Bogus's giant billboard behind him that he brought in today for the show was an eyesore in the most beautiful way possible for those watching at watchda.com. And it led us down a memory lane of what that baseball podcast was really about 7 years ago.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's Bogus blows your mind.
It was an interview show. John Feinstein was on that show. Was on this podcast.
Bogus ruins your life.
Machine of death.
The royal suck.
The heaviest guitar riffs with the heaviest baseball takes. It's high and tight every Monday with Andrew.
It was Wednesdays, but that would have been a good title too. High and tight. Where were you?
Oh, it's collision at the plate.
You are a machine of death.
With Andrew,
run me over.
It's Buster Posey's collision everywhere.
Good job. You're going to win that radio DJ job.
It's Jason Kendall's ankle everywhere.
Welcome to Gruesome Dislocations.
Every Wednesday we'll discuss the most grotesque baseball injuries ever.
That might have lasted. There's a market for that.
It's the March of Death.
Do you love Slayer and the Yankees?
My baby from the streets.
Inside 80s hair metal and the A's bullpen. High and tight with Bogus at the plate.
If the baby can't breathe, then what is you?
Watch Bogus snort red fire ants while breaking down the DH. It's Bogus at the plate.
Do you watch baseball in studded leather vests? Then this is the podcast for you.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
God, that's just the heaviest guitar riff. I mean, and if you know Bogus, he's not heavy guitar riff guy. And
hey, boys.
And baseball podcasts aren't normally heavy guitar riff subject matter. So the fact that that was Bogus at the plate, his baseball podcast on Wednesday mornings to recap the baseball week. Like, should that be the intro to Twib Notes too nowadays? And Bogus is like, so not that guy, baseball, so not that sport. And for some reason, somebody in the podcast department here at CBS was like, yeah, we need the heaviest guitar riff ever for Bogus to break down the AL Central. Bum, bum, bum. And then also, do we have that open that we can play, or that liner? Because when you hear voice guy, like the whole thing is really, it's very heavy and it's so not bogus.
It's time for Bogus at the Plate. Here's Andrew Bogus.
Could you imagine listening to a baseball podcast with Bogus and be like, yeah, so freaking fired up.
Hey, boys.
I need more Mariners DH talk.
It's time for Bogus at the Plate.
What about...
Here's Andrew Bogus.
I need more Padres talk. Right into my veins with Bogus at the Plate. Thanks to Sean Merez, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogus at the Plate for heavy guitar riffs. I wonder why that podcast didn't survive more than a season. The Mothership Disconnect.
It's time for Bogus at the Plate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.